Once again, it is good to gather together here with the opportunities to study from the Word of God, to offer praise and honor unto His great and matchless name, so that we might be able to honor and praise Him. We might be able to encourage and strengthen one another as we conduct ourselves in this worship service this morning. And may those things be the focus of our activities as we are here together today. In the text that was read for us by Brother Jimmy this morning, in the older versions, or maybe not so much the older versions, in the versions that are associated with the King James Scriptures, we find the term carnal used in those phrases. And it is from that we have taken our title this morning, The Carnal Mind. But as we consider this, I want us to recognize exactly what it is we're talking about when we talk about this carnal mind. We need to recognize what it is that is referenced there by the Apostle Paul, so that we might be able to understand how it applies to us. We don't use that term carnal extensively in our lives today, although it is a word that is in our vocabulary and we can use it and do from time to time, but more along the lines of what we would consider is the word fleshly, or as some of the versions render it, of the flesh. And that's because when we look at the definition of that idea of carnal mind, we're talking about that which is governed by mere human nature, not by the Spirit of God. That's the definition from Thayer's. And mind, of course, that which one has in the mind, the thoughts and purposes, the intents, the ideas, all of those things that are associated with our reasoning capacity. And so what we're talking about is to think or consider things in accordance with the flesh. Or maybe more for our consideration this morning, in accordance with the things of this world. When we read the idea of the flesh or fleshly in Scripture, the idea of carnal as we find here, we need to recognize that what's being talked about is the things of this temporary place where we live, the things of this world. And Paul told the Corinthian brethren that he had a problem in speaking to them. He couldn't speak to them as he wanted to. It wasn't like the Hebrew writer who couldn't teach the things he wanted to about Melchizedek because they hadn't studied and didn't know. Paul said, I can't speak to you as I want to as a spiritual people because your minds are focused upon the things of the world. He says, I know that's the case because you're divided over the things of the world. You're divided over individuals rather than being united in Christ. And I think that's something that we have to be careful with today. I've got both the New King James and the English Standard here because of the difference in the words that are used there. In particular, consider that phrase down toward the end there, behaving like mere men. Or, as the English Standard renders it, in a human way. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about this carnal mind. In a way that focuses upon human desires, human thoughts, human rules, human regulations, the things of this world, rather than the things of Christ. And Paul said, Corinthian brother, I'm having trouble teaching you and talking to you about things that matter of a spiritual nature because your mind is thinking in a worldly pattern. Your mind is thinking about human things. Even the considerations that you have in your relationship with one another are considerations in regard to human ideas rather than spiritual. And I'm convinced that that is a problem that we have today, just like the Corinthian brethren had then. Not that we're necessarily, as individuals here in this congregation, following after a particular individual or something like they were, but we think in human terms. We consider, we make our decisions based upon carnal attitudes rather than spiritual attitudes is something that we constantly need to be on guard against. We need to recognize certain things in regards to this idea of carnal mind. And the first is one of the things that Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The carnal mind is untaught. Now, that doesn't mean the carnal mind is ignorant or without any knowledge. But the carnal mind is untaught in the ways of Scripture, in the ways of God. Much like those who were rebuked in the Hebrew letter in Hebrews chapter 5, who could not understand the intricacies of the things that the Hebrew writer wanted to talk to them about regarding the priesthood of Christ in relation to Melchizedek, the carnal mind is not spiritually understanding. Certainly, we recognize and understand the passage there in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 3 of the next chapter about their need to feed upon the Word of God, to exercise themselves and to grow such that they can handle the deeper things of the Word. That takes a spiritual mind. That takes a mind that is constantly learning and growing in accordance with the will of God, that is seeking after not just the basics of the milk of the Word, but is able, as we read there in the first part of chapter 6 in Hebrews, able to leave the elementary teaching about Christ and press on to maturity. Not having to go over and over again the foundations of our faith, but able to move forward with the more intricate, more deeper, I'm not supposed to use that kind of grammar, but anyway, the deeper thoughts and intents of the Word. And it becomes a more intimate part of us and who we are because we grow and come to an understanding because we recognize that the mind that is untaught in the ways of God is a dangerous thing. In Hosea chapter 4, and verse 6, passage we referred to recently and a passage that should be fresh in our minds. We've talked about this before. We talk about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but look what happened because they didn't have knowledge. Because they were untaught, they were rejected the knowledge of God. God said, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Because they were unknowledgeable in spiritual things, God was going to turn his back on them. And we see, as we read the stories about the nation of Israel, that's exactly what he did. He cast them out. The untaught mind, the carnal mind, is a danger to us. Because it can bring about a separation from God. It can allow error to creep in. In fact, Paul later on in chapter 4 of the book of 1 Corinthians intimated the idea that this untaught mind, this lack of spiritualness could cause them to begin to think of one person above the other. In fact, that's why they had the division that they had. Because they thought Peter was better than Paul, or Paul was better than Apollos, or Apollos was better than Christ. They were following after him. And Paul said in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, these things I figured he applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to exceed what is written, so that none of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. In other words, so that you don't develop this attitude of somebody's better than the other. That comes out of an untaught mind. A mind that has a lack of understanding. And we can see that because we see in the world today, in the religious circles of the world especially, that there are millions of people that are following after an individual because they think very highly of him, but when you go to investigate why they believe what they don't believe it because they've read it and studied it and come to an understanding of their own. They believe it simply because that's what he said. They're untaught. Much different from the brethren that Paul came up with in Berea, who are honored in the text of Scripture there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 because they didn't just accept what was said. They went and investigated to see if it was actually the truth. Why? Because they weren't just focused upon the here and now. They weren't just thinking about things in worldly terms. They were spiritually minded. And they were concerned about whether that which the Apostle Paul was teaching was according to the teaching of God. So they investigated. They checked it out. They studied. They became learned. They had a spiritual mind. Paul told the Roman brethren in regards to his brothers and sisters in the Israelite nation that his desire and prayer to God was for their salvation. He recognized, he says, I testify that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Their minds were focused on something besides God. We've seen that in our studies of the life of Christ as we've gone through the Gospels. The problem that Christ had with the various leaders of the Jewish people time and time again was a result of their emphasis on earthly things rather than spiritual things. We saw that just a few weeks ago when we looked at the woes that Jesus pronounces upon the scribes and Pharisees. One of those woes is you take care of the tithing of those little bitty tiny spices, but you've forgotten about love and care and those sort of things. You ought to be doing both. We need to make sure that we're following God's righteousness, that our mind is trained in the ways of God and therefore not focused on the ways of men. The carnal mind is on top in the ways of the Lord. And so it conducts itself in accordance with the ways of man rather than the ways of God. And that makes it at enmity with God. It's against God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 beginning, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's a constant war between the flesh and the Spirit. And once again, let's consider that idea, the carnally minded that we read in the King James Version or in the New King James is the same as the mindset on the flesh that we read in some of the other versions. That's what we're talking about. The mind that is set on the flesh is against God. It's at enmity with the Creator. Why? Because it's focused on fleshly things rather than spiritual things. We need to recognize and understand that our consequences, our actions have consequences, not our consequences have actions. Our actions have consequences. How we conduct ourselves is going to affect who we are, how we live, what we do, and how we are accepted or rejected by others. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice some of the things that are enumerated there. Not just immorality, not just adultery, but enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, choosing up sides. Along human standards, makes us at enemies with God. Do not be deceived. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Or as we read in our Bible class this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. The carnal mind, the mind that is using fleshly plans, human instructions, is against God. and having a mind that is focused on those things will destroy us. We need to be aware of that battle and constantly on guard against it. We studied in the book of James a few months ago in James chapter 4 and verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Another passage familiar to us, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world. What does that entail? The things that we do that are brought about in our life, the conduct that we engage in our life that is encouraged and guided by the thoughts of man. Human plans are against God. Now it's pretty regular that when we read this idea of do not love the world, we think about we need to stay away from coarse language. We don't want to love the evil things of the world. But do we recognize that do not love the world also entails and covers how we react in other aspects of our life? How do we guide ourselves in our social media realm? Whether you're talking about online or in person. How do we conduct ourselves and what drives us in our entertainment? In keeping up with the Joneses? What's the motivation behind the actions that we take in regards to discussions with others? Whether it be politics or patriotism or sports. What's the moving factor in those things? Are we guided by godly principles, by the teaching of the Word of God that tells us that we need to be focused upon spiritual things? Or are we guided by the thoughts and intents that come from our human side and the men and women around us that says we've got to stand for this at all costs? When we are acting out of fleshly, human desires, we're working against God. And we need to be careful of that. It needs to be a part of our nature that we are focused on God, godly principles. Because as Paul makes mention there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the carnal mind is divisive. It pulls apart. It doesn't promote unity. He says, I know you're still fleshly, you're still carnally minded, because there's jealousy and strife among them. There's division, which is evidence that you're still walking like mere men. You're still thinking in human standards. He said later in verse 10, or actually earlier in verse 10 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. That you all be unified under God, not divided. When we're guided by human principles, by worldly thoughts and instruction, we divide one another. Because no matter how great and wonderful my idea may be, you got a difference. I may have a perfect plan. It may be something that everybody ought to do, at least as far as I can see in my mind. But you're going to have a different one. As long as my plan is based on human desires and emotions and thoughts and instruction. As long as my desires are focused upon the things of this world, there's going to be division among us. No matter how much we may want to think that we are unified. Because when I'm guiding myself by human ways, I'm guiding people away from God, causing destruction. Because we're not under a perfect standard that promotes unity when we're following human instruction and desire. It's what led to the problems that John wrote about in 3 John verse 9 with Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. But he didn't accept what Paul said. He wouldn't let people hear what Paul said. That's what happened when the Israelites came to the southern border of the land of Canaan. Remember, they came to the land of Canaan just within a year or so of leaving the nation of Egypt. Came right there, and there it was in front of them, and all the produce and the glory of that country, that nation, that area was brought down to them and illustrated to them. But they started listening to the advice of men, and they refused to go in. But then you remember when they were rebuked by Moses and Joshua and Caleb and Aaron for their disobedience, for their lack of faith in God. They said, okay, we believe in God now. We can do this. But they were still operating on human instruction. Moses told them, don't go. Remember, they went. They were soundly defeated. Why? Because they weren't working under the operation of God anymore. They were following mere human ideas. It was kind of in line with what God wanted them to do, but it wasn't in accordance with the will of God, and they suffered the consequences. The carnal mind is not going to help us in serving God, because it is against God and it leads to divisiveness rather than unity. We need to be very cautious and very careful about what we use to guide us, even as individuals in the church. It must be God's plan. It must be spiritually sought after. The carnal mind has difficulty helping us in our service to God, not just because it's divisive, but because of the weapons that it chooses to use. Because the mind that is focused upon the things of the flesh, the mind that walks in the flesh, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and very lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we're ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Paul said, we walk in the flesh, but we don't fight with the flesh. We don't use carnal weapons. He expressed it to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I think I've got verse 11 there at the beginning, but I think we're going to start up again, ahead of that. We're going to start in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand to resist, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he continues with prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. Paul says we've got spiritual weapons to fight with. We don't fight with carnal weapons. We'll never win the battle over fleshly desires by fighting with fleshly weapons. It's more weapons. But in the carnal mind, human reason is exalted. If our mind is focused upon the things of this world, we're going to use worldly methods to fight our battles. And we're going to fail. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. Indeed, Jews ask for a sign and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, people think preaching is foolish. People think going about telling everyone about Christ and who He is and what He's done for us and what we need to do in order to be in a right relationship with Him is a waste of time. Until they believe it. Until they understand it. Until they turn their mind from fleshly thoughts to spiritual things. Cain looked upon the offering that he was going to give to God, and I'm convinced he thought, hey, this is good. This is my first fruits. This is the best of my crop. The very beginning of the fruits of the ground. I'm going to give it to God. God rejected him because it wasn't what he asked for. The Israelites standing around Mount Sinai, who had witnessed and heard the voice of God, had seen the glory of God, looked to Aaron and said, Aaron, give us a God that we can see. Give us something we can touch, something we can feel, something we can see. And that's what we'll say brought us out of Egypt. We need to be careful that we don't get focused upon physical things rather than spiritual things. As we made mention in our Bible class this morning, we talked just a moment ago, we got to be careful about how we do the things that we do. They have to be through Christ in accordance with His authority. It's great that we have a concern for those that are hungry and we want to help to feed them. But we need to be careful how we go about that, especially as a congregation of people, because God's given us instruction about how we're to be. We're to be a spiritual house, not a physical house. We're not here to solve the social ills of mankind. We're here to bring mankind out of sin and into a right relationship with God. We're not about healing physical sickness. We're about healing souls. And so we need to make sure that our focus as a congregation is focused upon the goals and the methods of accomplishing those goals that God has given us. And you know what? Nowhere in Scripture did He tell us we need to pool all our resources so we can scream the loudest from the biggest radio tower. In fact, everything we find in Scripture is an instruction that you and me and you as individuals need to go talk to individuals about the Word of God. Human reasoning says that's a waste. How are you ever going to reach everybody like that? God said, that's my plan. And it'll work. Sometimes we develop this attitude that we want to change the world. And there's a sense in which, as Christians, we have an obligation to change the world. But not by changing laws, not by protesting, not with lawsuits, not with the health and wealth gospel, we change the world by changing the heart and mind of an individual through the teaching of the Word of God. We need to be careful. Just a few years ago, there was a big push to pass laws regarding marriage. Let's put in the laws of our land exactly what marriage is. God did not call us to do that. God called us to teach His Word to individuals. If you want to use some of the terms that we hear spoken of from time to time, we are a grassroots organization. We individually teach the masses, and it works its way up. We don't start at the top and work our way down. We change the hearts and souls of individuals, and that will change the world. Why? Because we use spiritual weapons, not carnal. The kind of weapons that to the world and to the fleshly carnal mind are a stumbling block, an obstacle, a difficulty. But to the mind that is focused upon Christ and upon spiritual things, it is a great and wonderful blessing and a powerful weapon against Satan. We fight with the Word of God. We could spend a whole lesson going back there and looking, in fact we probably have before, at Ephesians chapter 6 and how those pieces of armor, every single one of them points back to the Word delivered through the messengers of Christ. That's the weapon we use, the gospel. We don't use carnal weapons. But if we have a carnal mind, those are the weapons we're going to reach for, is the carnal weapons. We need to be careful of that. Because a carnal mind leads to death. As we read a moment ago in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the mind set on the flesh is death. It leads to death, it leads to destruction, it leads to separation from God. It is enmity with God. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die, Paul said a few verses down in verse 13 of Romans chapter 8. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you can, through the Spirit, remove your carnal mind, you'll live. You'll destroy your human side. You'll get rid of the fleshly, but you'll live as a spirit. And isn't that what we all want? Be spiritually alive for God here and enter into eternity as a live spirit with God. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I warned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Guiding our actions and lives by the thoughts of the human side will keep us out of heaven. It even brought physical death upon Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. The last thing we want to consider is that we need to recognize that we make the choice regarding what kind of mind we have. In verse 12 of Romans chapter 8 beginning, Paul says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Notice he said, brethren, we're not under obligation to the flesh. We don't have to have a carnal mind. We can change our mind. We can, as Paul said in one of the first few verses of Romans chapter 12, we can transform our mind by the renewing of the Word of God, of the Spirit. By filling our minds with God's Word, we can move ourselves from having a fleshly carnal mind to having a spiritual mind that's focused upon God and serving Him. And it will guide how we conduct ourselves each and every day in all aspects of our life. We can shift our focus away from the flesh. We make the choice whether we're going to be led by the flesh or by the Spirit. Eternal life comes only through the Spirit. And we need to heed the advice that the Apostle Paul gives to the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, and have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to carry in our mind the mind of Christ. In fact, we need to change our mind to be a mind of Christ. A mind focused on His things, upon spiritual things, not upon the physical. We need to engage in spiritual warfare. I've seen a lot of brethren engaged in a lot of discussions across a varied number of topics. And I'm saddened to find that the great portion of those discussions are based upon human reasoning, upon human desires, upon the things of this world, rather than the things of eternity, the things of God. As children of God, those who are striving to reach heaven and are supposed to be conducting ourselves in a manner that we are encouraging others to find Christ and make Him a part of their own life, which does more good? Talking to somebody about the Word of God? We're talking to them about something of this world. Which should be our focus? Where's our mind? Are we guided by human standards or by the Spirit of God? We make a choice. One time, the great majority of us here in this assembly this morning made the choice to guide ourselves by the Word of God. The question for us is, are we still living according to that choice? Or we slip back into the ways of the world. We allow our mind to be invaded by carnal thoughts and desires. Maybe because we didn't keep spending time in the Word of God, keep our mind filled with that Word. If you find yourself in that condition this morning, you need to come back to God. You need to repent. You need to cleanse your mind of the things of this world and put your focus and your heart back into the service of our God and Father, by living in accordance with spiritual precepts and teachings. Confessing your sin and asking God to forgive, His promise that He'll wipe our sins away as if they've never been. If you've never made that choice, then who do you want to serve? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, paying the price for man's sins, giving us a means by which we can rise above this earthly existence and have hope of something when this life is over? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Why not take action on that and turn yourself away from the world and toward God? Confess your belief in Jesus. You can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away and rise a spiritual being, a new man, a new creature. Putting behind into death the old man of the flesh and rising a spiritual person along to God. If you look this morning and find there's something in your life that's amiss, you're ready to get it corrected. Time and opportunity is yours. Come on, stand and sing for the church.